If you have your Bibles, and you should, I want to invite you to stand up, and we're going to jump right into God's Word. I always like inviting people to stand if you're able to when we read God's Word, because even at a young age, as I'm working with students, I want them to know how amazing God's Word is, that it has authority and it has power, and I want to give honor to God's Word. So we're going to read in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. This was the scripture that Pastor Jeff preached on last week. I want to kind of pick up where he left off, and then we're going to jump to Philippians for our scripture this week. It says this: God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And then Philippians 2:13, this is what we're going to be kind of camping on. It says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Let's pray real quick. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Thank you that your word has power. I pray, God, that it would accomplish all that you want it to accomplish today, that it would challenge us, God, that we would walk out here looking a little bit more like you and a little bit less like ourselves. Lord, we love you. Pray this in your mighty name. Lord, we also pray for all of our hunters out there. Keep them safe and let them shoot a big buck. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. All right. Like I said, I love God's word. That last part of the scripture that we read, that first part, it says, he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he's planned for us from long ago. The Message paraphrase, which is a really enjoyable, more recent translation of the Bible, says it like this. It goes, He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. We are joining. We join him in the work that God is doing. The good work he has gotten ready for us. Work that we had better be doing. I like that last part. Work that we had better be doing. At the moment of salvation, the moment where we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we ask him to forgive our sins, that's what it means when we start a relationship. There's a little bit of a process. It's free. It's not difficult. It's easy. But that's what we have to do. We have to confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. We ask him to forgive our sins. At that moment of salvation, we are open to a relationship with Jesus. We are open to knowing that our eternity is secure with Christ in heaven. But also, that means in that moment that we discover our purpose, the reason for us being on earth. As Christians, our lives have purpose. And if ever you are questioning or wondering if your life matters, is there a reason for your life here on earth? It absolutely matters. And yes, you have a purpose, and it's found in Jesus. And when we read a scripture like that, it says we had better be doing the work that he's given us. I want to kind of summarize it like this and say we have a job. And I would say it very clear. I said, I have a job working for Jesus. Okay, so I want you to repeat this after me. Say, I have a job working for Jesus. One more time, because I really want you to kind of understand that. I have a job working for Jesus. There's no unemployment in God's kingdom. There's no I lost my job working for Jesus. No, you don't lose your job working for Jesus. Now, you can not be doing the work, but you still have a job, okay? And you don't want to be taking advantage of all that God has for you by not working for him. But at the same time, once we understand that there's a purpose, there's a responsibility that we have as disciples of Jesus, that we are working for and we are working with Jesus to accomplish the good things of redeeming a lost and dying world. Simply put, our job as a disciple of Jesus is to save the world. That's a big job. Our job as disciples of Jesus is to work for and with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus, to save a lost and dying world. That is a massive job. Last week, Pastor Jeff shared about some things that we've been doing as a movement of CLF to help and to work to do the good things that Jesus has planned for us to do. And if you missed it, I want to encourage you to jump back on our website and listen to the message. I'm not going to unpack everything that he talked about, but we've been up to some things here. We've been working. We've been doing the job that God has told us and assigned us and has purposed for us to do. We've been doing, as a movement through the Beyond Initiative, we've been going beyond in our giving and are going to do the work that God has put before us. And I love that whether you've just recently started coming or CLF is your home and it's been your home for a long time, that we get after it. We don't just look at our job as Christ followers, as disciples of Jesus, as just like, hey, I guess we could do this thing. I mean, we really take this thing seriously. And we not only, it's not only something for us as leadership, we say, no, this is something for all of us to do. And so we've been building homes for families who have lost everything in a volcano in Guatemala. We've been investing in pastors and missionaries and in kingdom builders through Be Still Retreats. We've been building an orphanage. You guys, we're building an orphanage. And maybe this is just like, as a young person growing up in the church, I remember just the thought, I'd be like, man, it would be awesome to like build an orphanage someday. And here, like many years later, I am a part of a movement that is literally building an orphanage. Like, we bought the land for this missionary. We are buying bricks. We're sending teams. We are building an orphanage to rescue children literally out of the trash, that are being thrown in the trash because their parents don't think that their life has any matter or has purpose. And yet we know, as disciples of Jesus, their life has purpose. And we're rescuing them out of the trash, giving them a purpose and a destiny. And I think that's pretty unbelievable. And now we're partnering, and Pastor Jeff talked about this at length, and you can, like I said, look back last week, but we're partnering with Live Dead, and we're going to be sending people to some of the hardest reached places in the world for the gospel. And we have a job to do, and praise God that we are getting after it. We're doing work. And here's the fun thing about being part of a movement of disciple makers is who are doing the job that God gave us to do. Later this week, and as you're gathering around with family or friends for Thanksgiving, maybe it's a true like family gathering, or maybe it's more of a friendsgiving, you're getting together with people that you consider close friends and really family. Because if you haven't seen somebody in a while, inevitably this question pops up, right? Like, so what have you been up to recently? Like, you know, like either you're going to ask that or somebody's going to ask that of you. And this is the joy that you have as a part of the movement of CLF, is you have the joy of when somebody asks you that question, you can smile. You can be like, what have I been up to recently? Oh, man. I just got done building some homes for volcano survivors in Guatemala. So that's been pretty fun. Actually, we just recently, I helped get a tiny house. Do you know about the tiny house movement? Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyways, we got a tiny house for some pastors and missionaries, and now we're building an orphanage. That should be done soon, we're working hard. Actually, and now, check this out. So now we're actually going to be helping create business models that are going to go into a bunch of the hardest to reach places of the world for the gospel. I mean, it's pretty cool. So yeah, that's all I've been up to. What have you been doing? This is what I love, is that when we're working with God, when he works through us, we get a hand in. We get some ownership over what he's doing. You can actually say with confidence, you can hold your head up high. You can smile at Thanksgiving, and you can be like, yeah, I've been working hard. What have you been doing? You know, yeah, I'm getting after it. I'm doing work in the kingdom of God. And for real, when we have these moments, when we realize that we have a job working for Jesus, it is the best job you will ever have in your entire life. Working for Jesus to save a lost and dying world is living your best life. It really is. So many times when we take people on missions trips, and we see this all the time with students, there's like this moment where they're like, I don't want to go back home. I want to stay here doing what we're doing on this missions trip. It's because there's this like this glimpse, this they kind of peel back the layers for a second, and they say, this is how I'm supposed to be living. Fully committed, devoted to God, working for Jesus. This is my best life. And so when we realize this, we can get excited about it, and we realize that that there's a purpose for our lives. I get excited when I'm talking about this stuff because the last few weeks through our Beyond Initiative, there's been many moments where, whether it was I'm sitting on the front row listening to Pastor Jeff or to Pastor Carrie speak, and I'm just like blown away that how God has orchestrated all of this to happen. Like if you take a step back for a second and you go, okay, homes in Guatemala, man, that's awesome. Okay, orphanage in El Salvador, man, that's awesome. Okay, BISA retreats, investing in pastors and missionaries from all around the world now. They have folks that are coming from all around the world to stay at their retreat center. And now we're going to be reaching a part of the world that is so anti-Christian, so anti-Jesus. And we get a chance to do that. Like, God, how do you do that? Like, how does all that work? How do we in central Wisconsin, Packers fans, get an opportunity to connect with a small village that was just devastated by a volcano? Like, how do we up here get connected with someone down here? And how is it at the exact right moment, at the exact right time, that our church is listening to the Lord and saying, it's time to go beyond. It's time to get uncomfortable, to do something you haven't done before. And how does God connect this with this? The only way that that happens is through the Holy Spirit. The only way that these things sing, there's this great conspiracy going on in the kingdom of God. And it's how the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us to accomplish the good work, the good purposes of God. It's God working in us because apart from God, we can't do it by ourselves. There's no way that we would have been able to connect and help come alongside to restore hope for so many people in Guatemala. There's no way that would have been able to do it on our own in El Salvador. And now, when we kind of take a step back and we realize that apart from God, we don't really have anything. Like, have you ever had that moment where you've realized, like, apart from God, like, you're not really that great? Am I the only one that's kind of realized that? I'm the only one that's realized, whoa, I am kind of not that great of a person apart from God. And I'm not trying to offend anyone, but seriously, like, on your own, by yourself, how would you save the world? And this is whenever I am faced with a question that I don't know the answer to, there's usually one quick response that I have. Like, whenever somebody's like, hey, blah, 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 and they're asking this question, I was like, I don't know, hold on, just give me 1 second, I'll get you that answer. Google, how do I, you know? And like, reality, that's probably what a lot of us do. Whenever we don't have the answer to a question, we Google it, at least people under 40 do, okay? Most of you over 40 already know the answer to all these things, and we probably should just be asking you, but we're not. We're asking Google, okay? But so I was, you know, I was just kind of curious, and I Googled how to save the world. And what I found was a lot about recycling. And I was like, okay, well, I recycle, and I recycle a lot, and my wife is really passionate about recycling, so much so that she's, like, picking things out of the trash. She's like, you did this. You put it over here. And I'm like, look, the world isn't saved yet by recycling. Yes, it helps. I agree. But recycling, it's not going to save the world. And it does help. And so all those that are like intense about recycling, don't come after me at the end of this thing, okay? It does help. But I'm just saying, I've recycled for a long time and the world is still not that great, okay? So then I change it. I'm like, maybe it's not how do I save the world, it's how do I save a life. And then all I got was responses to that Frey song, How to Save a Life, and that was annoying. So then I tried something, how to save people. I was like, give me something good here, Google, how to save people. And here's some of the top answers I found for how to save people. The first one, donate blood. Good suggestion. I like that. Second option for how to save people, make sure your building's elevator is ready for an emergency. So I clicked on that one. I was like, okay, it's number two. It must be important. Apparently, there's a lot of people who live or work in high-rise, whether it's buildings or apartments or whatever, and they have a lot lower chance of surviving if something was to go wrong. So, okay, that's important. Elevators, got it. That's how we save people. Third ones, check the organ donor box at the DMV. Okay. Four, this... actually listen during the flight safety instructions. Am I the only one that they're like, please pay attention? You're like, headphones in, you know? I'm like, you know, all right. This one, number five, was learn CPR. Pretty good. Number six, be the anti-bully of your school or workplace. This is like a legit list on when you Google how to save people, be the anti-bully. Number seven, get a colonoscopy and encourage others to do that. Pretty good. And number eight, Wear your seatbelt and encourage others to do the same. Okay, now I'm not denying that those are good things to do. And again, when you kind of look at them, yes, those are all things that will save a life. They'll save people. But just Googling, with all of the knowledge that we have at our fingertips, just Googling how to save the world, how to save a life, how to save people, it's not going to get you the sort of answers. You're not really going to make an impact like you would if you were to go to Christ, to go to Jesus, to go to God's word and say, how do we do this thing? And thankfully, we have a Savior who knows we don't know what we're doing. We don't have this thing figured out, and we need help doing the job that he's given us. Listen to what John 14, 15 through 17 says. If you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, capital H right there, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. See, Jesus gave us a job to do. And because he's a good Father, because he's a good God, because he's Jesus, he gives us some help. Acts 1 through 5 gives us some instruction on this. It says, once, and this is after Jesus rose from the dead, he's appeared to a lot of people, and this is right before he ascends back to heaven. He says this to his disciples. Once he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptizes with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I hope you're starting to kind of piece this together a little bit now. Jesus gives us a job. God promises to send a helper, and we will receive help from this helper through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let me read John 14, 25 through 26. I got a lot of scripture because it's good. It says this, these things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. I feel like I need to repeat that. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. This helper, capital H, we know it's from God. It's the Holy Spirit, the part of the Trinity that sometimes scares people a little bit. He's going to teach us all things. In the Gospel of John, this helper, the Holy Spirit, is translated from the original Greek with the word parakletos. It literally means to counselor, an advocate, a comforter. And so we translate the book, the Gospel of John translates it helper, but some of the other gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they translate it a little different. They'll call it advocate or helper. And really, when we kind of put all this together, the actual like visual that it's giving you for paraclete or parakletos is to come alongside, to literally come alongside someone. And so I think sometimes we get talking about the Holy Spirit and how it's going to teach us all things, and we get a little intimidated, we get a little scared about it. So I want to do just a quick visual of this. Josiah, can you come here? Come here, man. All right, this is Josiah Payne. He's one of our Uncommon students. How old are you?
14.
14. You consider yourself pretty agile and strong?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Sorry, I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I want you to be me right now, okay? So just think, what would Pastor Eric do, okay? And then I'm going to be the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, it says it's a comforter, it's an advocate, it's going to teach us all things. It literally means to come alongside. So the visual that I want you to have right here is that this is Eric, and I'm the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's just go for a quick walk. Okay, go for it. And as the Holy Spirit, I'm going to stick right alongside you. Ooh, careful. Slow down, buddy. Okay. All right. Wait, stop. Turn. I think why don't you talk to that guy?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, look. Oh, yeah. Ask him what's really going on.
Well, life's been kind of tough lately.
Mm-hmm. Wait, why don't you pray for him real quick? Amen. Give him a hug.
Okay, thank you.
That's great. Hey, let's get up. Let's keep walking. Hey, give that guy a high five. Compliment his beard. That's awesome. All right, keep going. Stop. Look around. Isn't this awesome? That's pretty cool. All right, give it up for Josiah. See, here's the thing. On our own, we might just be walking and we have an agenda and we're like, I got to get to the sing. And then there's moments where we might be moving too fast and the Holy Spirit's going to, whoa, slow down. Move a little slower, right? And then there, I just totally tripped. That was perfect. I needed the Holy Spirit right there. And then there's times in our lives where the Holy Spirit might kind of whisper something. It might not be loud. It might not be a shout. Sometimes it feels like a shout, right? But there's times where it might be a little whisper. And when we listen to that whisper, when we listen to that impression, it might say, hey, stop. Talk to that person. And then after you talk to that person, maybe it'll give you some more instruction. Be like, hey, why don't you pray for them? And then maybe it might just be like, hey, you know what? Instead of just looking down and getting to where you need to go, all you need to do is just say hi. And just be a smiling face. And just acknowledge somebody's existence. See, the beauty of the Holy Spirit is that when we're working with God, the Holy Spirit is literally going to empower us and help us to view and to see things completely different than we would have seen them. It's going to put us in the right place at the right time to have maybe a conversation, maybe just a high five, maybe to actually sit down and pay for somebody's meal at a restaurant or pay for somebody's coffee or do something. See, when we're in line and we're moving, we're paying attention to the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of really cool, awesome things that happen. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, we read verses like this, you know, like we read about, it says that it is going to teach us how to do all things. It's going to teach us how to do all things. I get really encouraged by that because I don't have a lot of stuff figured out. I consider myself a pretty smart guy, but there's a lot that I don't know. And it's really nice to know that God, my Heavenly Father, knows that I don't know a lot of stuff. And He knows I need help. And so He's going to send what Scripture calls a gift. Now, what is a gift? Something you oftentimes didn't expect, right? At least those are the best gifts. You're like, I didn't even know. You know, this is awesome. And a gift is best when it's being used. Sometimes we get a gift and you're like, ah, that's great. And we just put it on look at that thing. That's cool. And we don't ever engage with it. And that's unfortunately how a lot of Christians view and interact with this awesome gift, the Holy Spirit. They're like, oh, cool, thanks, God. Well, and they just keep doing, and they totally put this gift, this Holy Spirit, and they don't engage with it, and they don't understand it. I often wonder, why are so many what seems to be, and I don't want this to come across as judgmental or anything, but it appears at times that there are a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ who don't take advantage of this amazing gift, who in reality, it's kind of confusing. It causes them to be like, you know what, if that's the Holy Spirit, because there's sometimes people that kind of just go off the deep end a little bit, and there's no balance in their life, and they get so obsessed with the Holy Spirit that they forget about Jesus and salvation. They dive so deep into this spirit thing that they forget that there's a Heavenly Father that loves them, that wants us to be the very hand of Christ and the hand of the Father in the world and in the community around us. They dive so deep into the spirit thing that it just gets kind of uncomfortable. And I think that's it. There's confusion about the Holy Spirit. And so a lot of believers just kind of stay away. And so, but when we understand, when we kind of are willing to embrace what seems like might be a little bit of confusion on the surface, but we kind of peel back the layers and say, no, this is a good gift. It's from God. It's for me. How am I supposed to interact with that? The Bible gives us some awesome instruction on how we are supposed to be interacting and working with the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit empowers us and works through us to accomplish all the good works that Christ has already put in play for us to do. See, working for Jesus is not impossible. When we listen and when we obey the helper, the paraclete, great things happen. And again, sometimes we we talk about obeying the Holy Spirit or listening to the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it just seems a little, like I said, confusing. Sometimes it comes across as a little weird. But let me give you an example of one moment in, well, there's a lot in Scripture, but one moment that I think is really special in Scripture where the disciples had a big job to do. And by themselves, it would have been impossible. But when they obeyed God, they listened to the Holy Spirit, they did what was being instructed of them, something amazing happened. This is in Matthew 14. Jesus was gaining some following. He was becoming pretty popular. Large crowds were gathering around to meet him and to listen to his teachings. The disciples came up in one moment in Matthew 14. The disciples came up and they're saying, hey, Jesus, you got to send the people away. It's getting late in the day. They're getting hungry. You need to you just send them home. We're in the middle of nowhere. There's no Chick-fil-A. We can't eat anything. There's no drive-thru. It's not going to happen. And Jesus just stops and he says something to them. This is where we're going to pick up in Matthew 14:6. He says, they don't need to leave, Jesus responded. You give them something to eat. Right there, he gives the disciples a job. They answered, but all we have is 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Let me have them, Jesus replied. Then he had everyone sit down on the grass. As he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, gave thanks to God, broke the bread into pieces. Then he gave it to the disciples, who in turn gave it to the crowds. A lot of times, sometimes we're like, well, God gave me a job, but it's on God. It's on him. No. It's on you. God gave you the job, but he wants to help you. He wants to empower you to do it. It says, and everyone ate until they were satisfied, and the food was multiplied in front of their eyes. They picked up leftovers and filled up 12 basketfuls. They were about 5,000 men who were fed, in addition to many women and children. A lot of us have heard that story before, and it might become like, oh, yeah, 5,000. Okay, let's put that in a little bit of perspective. That's feeding a lot of people. That's 5,000 men plus women and children. That's like the village of Port Edwards 3 to 4 times over, feeding that many people. That's a lot of people. And how quickly these disciples, they get this job and they're like, okay, what are we going to do? Guys, what are we going to do? We got 5 loaves, 2 fish. Yeah, we don't have it, God. We don't got it. There's no way that this is going to happen. But their response is a response that I think we need to have. The moment we realize we can't do the job that God has given us to do, we take what we have, we take what we already, God has gifted us with, and we bring it to him and we say, all right, God, I can't do it. But with you, all things are possible. But with you, we can feed 5,000 plus. With you, we can feed the village of Port Edwards, Wisconsin Rapid, Nukusa. We can take over central Wisconsin with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But it's with you, not on my own. And I love that because it shows us that when we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us, great things will happen. Now I want to share a personal story before we get ready to close here. Back in 2006, I was working at a church in Naperville called Calvary Church, and I've been there working on staff for just 2 years. And I was working on the youth staff, and I was doing media, making videos for youth. And most of the videos were just like funny videos, you know, like sometimes they're like, oh, that's awesome, you're doing media. I was like, no, we were just making stupid videos for students to laugh at. Like, that was it. But I got really good at making silly, funny videos. And then we started doing some testimony videos, and things started looking pretty good. I was like, man, I really love working with media. I really love photography. I really love video. I love graphic design. This is something I'm passionate about. And we had some missionaries come to our church, and they came and they spoke, and they had not great videos and photos, like almost to the point of like they would show the video and you'd be like, I don't know if I want to give you money or support you. You're like, that's really bad. Like, can I trust you with, you know, the support that I'm going to give you? And it was like in that moment, I began to have this idea of like, man, it would be really great to like serve our missionaries who their calling is not to make great videos or to be great photographers. Their calling is to reach the unreached, to make disciples and all over the world. And I was like, maybe I can help them with that. Like maybe that's my thing that I can do. So I started to pray about it. I was like, all right, God, let's do this. Like, let's just do this. So I started emailing some missionaries, and I was like contacting ones from different parts of Africa, because at that point God was just stirring my heart for the continent of Africa, and I started having these conversations, and there's one missionary in Kenya, and he's like, man, absolutely, yes, let's do this. And I was like, oh, okay, let's do this. And so we're talking, and, you know, I'm starting to work this out, and I'm, like, pretty close to, like, buying a plane ticket, like, just getting ready to go. And I get an email from this missionary, and he's like, I can't explain it. I just feel like the Holy Spirit is saying no. And I'm like, what? What do you mean no? Like, we've been having this conversation for months now. Like, it was always yes, yes, yes. And why is it no? You know, and I'm like, okay, maybe later this year. And he's like, I can't explain it. It's a no. It's just a hard no. I'm so sorry. I was like, okay, all good. I've been talking with some other missionaries. And I'd be like, hey, so I know I told you no, but guess what? I can come now, you know. And they're like, yeah. It was like the same thing. Every missionary that I've been talking with was like, we can't explain it. We just feel like the Holy Spirit is saying no. I was like, God, what are you doing? Like, God, like, I really felt like this was from you. Like, I really felt like you gave me this passion. You've given me these talents. Like, God, I want to do this thing. Like, come on. And I remember talking with one of the pastors on staff, and he's like, look, just because you have a calling doesn't mean it's a mandate to get up and go right now. Like if it's truly God, it'll happen in his timing. It'll happen with the power of the Holy Spirit to open the right door. And I was like, that's not what I wanted to hear, but okay. So that was 2006. In 2008, I got invited to go to Calcutta, India. And on this missions trip, we were doing some filming, and we were working with a missionary. And when we got back, I helped edit and put together a short film to raise money for this missionary in Calcutta. And I had a lot of fun with it. I was like, man, this is really fun. This is like what I want to do. This was pretty cool. Well, that like campaign, that fundraising campaign that we did, that short film that we created, helped to raise over $250,000 for that missionary. Just one video, $250,000. I was like, man, this is awesome. I was like, God, this is pretty sweet. The next year, we went to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Filmed another video, edited it. That time we raised $200,000. A year after that, I went to Indonesia, and then I went to Macedonia. Then I went to Romania, went back to Ethiopia. And there was a moment where I was standing and Ethiopia, specifically Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, is a really special place in the continent of Africa. It's the seat of the African Union. So there's always dignitaries, delegates, government officials from all over Africa that come, and they're making decisions. I mean, it's a big deal. There's one church in that area that would hold a conference for any believer that is a part of any government or delegate, and they would come and they would have this conference about how to, what does it look like to be in this place of influence and to not deal with, and to not have corruption or be distracted or dissuaded by money or anything like that. I mean, it was like this really, when I say I was like caught off guard, I'm standing in the corner of this room with a camera in front of me, looking around and going, oh, there's the king of Ethiopia. Oh, there's the prince of Tanzania. Oh, there's the delegate from South Africa. Oh, and I'm like, and it hit me in that moment. This is like 7 years after I felt like God gave me that passion. That in my own ability, in my own thinking, I was going to go just jump on a plane and help one, maybe two missionaries. But when I stopped and I listened to the Holy Spirit, when I stopped and I allowed myself to really move and be aligned with the plans and the purpose, the good work that Christ has already set in motion for me, when I submit and commit and obey and listen to that instead of trying to do it on my own, it is way more impactful and powerful. I did some quick tallying as I was preparing for this, and I was like, okay, I know for that campaign we raised this much. And just to be clear, I'm not up here saying, oh man, look at how awesome Eric is that he did this. That's not it at all. I'm saying with the power of the Holy Spirit, with God's help, he has helped me to be a part of something that has raised over $2 million for missions. And I say that because with myself, if I had just jumped on a plane, gone to the first missionary that was like, yeah, come on and help us, maybe 10,000, I don't know. I don't even know. Not nearly what I could have been able to do, what I would have been able to have partner with God. I love that God gives us a job to do. And I love that we, as a movement of CLF, are doing work. But very clearly, it's not about CLF. It's not about what we are doing. It's about how the Holy Spirit is empowering us to do the work that he has already planned for us to do, that he has already set in motion for us to do. And I love that when we take a step back, we say, there's no possible way all of this could have happened if it wasn't for God. There's no possible way it could have happened if it wasn't through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And let me just say this. Some of you know and understand what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is, and that's a beautiful thing. And if you're somebody that understands that and you're comfortable with it, please continue to be operating in those gifts. Please continue to be operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's some of you who have come either recently or from a different church background, affiliation, denominational background, and you haven't really engaged with the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, lean into that. Discover what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. Discover what your spiritual gifts are. Discover what God and the purpose and the plan that he has for you is. And if you have questions about that, man, we'd love to talk about it, but there's a lot of awesome people in here that know what that is, and they'd love to even kind of walk with you through that. But our job is not to go about doing this on our own. Our job as believers, as a movement of CLF, is to listen and obey the Holy Spirit and watch what he will do when we do that. So I want to invite the band to come back up, and we're going to get ready to close here. You should have received, when you walked in this morning, a Beyond Initiative pledge card. If you could just grab that real quick. Last week, we passed them out to everyone, and if you're like me, you forgot it. And so we gave it to you again. And if you weren't here last week, I'm going to kind of give you a quick recap of this. And because there's probably three main groups in the room right now. When we're talking about this. And the first group is, in the last year, you've recently started coming to CLF, and you missed out on the opportunity to jump in on the Beyond Initiative. You missed out on the opportunity to partner with what God's doing around the world. And just to clarify that when we're talking about going beyond in our giving, this is above and beyond our tithe. This is above and beyond our regular, what we regularly give to support what God's doing locally here. We're saying we're going to sacrificially trust God and go beyond it in our giving. And so some of you maybe are coming in here and you're like, man, I don't know what it was like to have pink carpet and pink pews. Well, praise God. Somebody sacrificially gave and they went beyond in their giving so you could have some comfortable chairs and move beyond the 1990s, okay? And so if you're saying, hey, I want to get in on that, I want to get in on what they're doing, this is your opportunity to join with the rest of the CLF movement here and be a part of Beyond Initiative. The second group is you filled out a card last year, and since then you've hit a wall financially. You've had some financial hardships. And Pastor Jeff mentioned this, but I just want to reiterate it, that if that's you, if you've either fallen behind in your giving or your commitment, that's okay. If you took a giant step being like, okay, I'm going to do it, and then like all of hell just has just been attacking you and keeping you down, that's okay. And if you would honestly be like, I can't, we just can't do it anymore, that's all right. Again, hear me clearly. We'll release you from that commitment. And there's no judgment. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. There really isn't, okay? But if that's you, would you just do us a favor and just let us know, hey, I need to back out. And that's okay. Hey, you're still in this thing with the going beyond and you're going. You're still in this thing with your going beyond and your prayers for this. But you're just saying financially, we've had some hardship, but we can't do that. And then the third group is, you've made a commitment last year, and you've been faithful to it, and we're just checking in. We just want to see how you're doing, because we're at the halfway point, and it's really exciting what God's done, what God's doing right now, and we're really excited for what God's doing in the future, but we're just checking in. You good? You still going? Then if you would just, again, just hit that check mark on there that says, hey, I'm continuing with my pledge, and I'm going to give accordingly. And even if you're like me, there was some times over the summer where you just forgot, all right? I just forgot to give my Beyond Initiative, okay? So I'm paying some back money. months right now on my Beyond initiative, and no one told me, that, you know, Pastor Jeff wasn't me like, hey, brah, yours, come on, man. You know, I mean, this was just me going, oh, darn it, shoot, okay, sorry, you know, and I'm like, God, I'm gonna be faithful. Just, again, just so we can kind of, I know, plan accordingly, because a lot of us took a step of faith. We really went beyond. We really trusted God. We really went beyond in our giving, and we want to be able to do some great things for kingdom purposes. We've got vision for beyond the $750,000 mark that we were planning to raise, and we pledged well beyond that, and so we're making plans to do some big things beyond that 750. So we just want to check in. So let's do this. The band's just going to kind of play nicely for a second here, and I'm going to ask if you would just fill out that card. Doesn't matter what group you're in. If you're the first group that says, hey, I missed it the first time around, but I'm jumping in, fill out that card. If you're saying, hey, we hit some financial hardship, we need to kind of back out of commitment, again, that's okay. Just do that and fill that out for us. Let us know. And then the third one, either you are saying you're good and you're going to keep going, or maybe you're saying, I want to up. I want to go even more. I want to go beyond, even bigger than what I originally thought, because I see that God's doing something awesome and I want to trust him even more. And so if you want to raise your beyond pledge, you can do that as well. I'm going to give you just a few minutes to fill that out, and I need to fill it out too. So, but let's take a second. Let's all fill that out.